Well, thank you, sports fans, and welcome to Caching in the Northwest. This is the only podcast dedicated to geocaching in the great Pacific Northwest. We're going to talk about caches and cachers unique to this little corner of the country. So while you're driving through that lake, at least on the GPS, we'll be caching in the Northwest.
That's right. And that means it's time to bring in our T5 Tamarin. Some say he's trained an orca to pull his kayak. Others say his DNA is a 95% match to a mountain goat. All we know is he's called Land Monkey.
Hey, thank you very much, guys. It is a pleasure to be back once again this Thursday evening with my good friends in Tacoma, and one of them joining us all the way from Detroit.
Yes, yes. I thought maybe the music scared you off tonight. We started playing music and you got up and left your chair.
I did. Well, I realized that we were on air and I didn't have my on air sign on air.
Now we can be on air.
Now we can. So there you go. We are live. And hey, you know what?
Yes. Go ahead. Coming to you live from the only major U.S. city where Canada lies to the south.
This is true. Valid point. All right. So people can try and figure that one out. In the meantime, not only am I thankful to be here with my two good friends, I'm also thankful to our Denali level supporters. That is Team Squirrel and WorldCaching.com. Folks, if you want to know more about supporting this show, remember to click the Patreon link on the CachingNW.com website. And, you know, we are appreciative of all of our patrons, Patreon patrons, which would include Subway Mark, Cachemaniac, Stormwar, Dune Buddy, Kid Vegas 19, GeoNav Pros, Wino Seattle, Ackerdoc, OBXKey, Camp Clan, B Pendragon, and Billy Robson. So thank you, every single one of you guys, for your support every week. It means a lot to us.
Thank you
Certainly
very much.
Does. Thank you very much.
And almost got him in one breath.
Almost.
He's getting close. He's going to work it up.
Very close.
You know what? We need more patrons so that I have more of a workout for that.
There you go.
Yeah. So join up just to prove that Land Monkey can't say all your names in one breath.
Mm-hmm.
How much accepted?
Hey, tonight's show, we're going to talk about T5 geocaching. That's Terrain 5. That's the hard stuff.
Yeah, it is.
But before we get going, we want to let everyone know that our thoughts and prayers go out to the victims and all those displaced by the wildfires in California. I think it's nearly under control, but even if the fires are under control, people's lives have been turned upside down, so... We just want to let you know that if that happens to be you, we're thinking about you. We're praying for you.
Absolutely, we are. Absolutely. All right. Now, before we get started, we want to remind you guys that geocaching.com has spent many hours still working away in their laboratories, updating your profile page. And, you know, cachingnw.com, we're actually working very hard to make your profile page just a little bit better, too. Just a little shinier for you. Bye.
Ooh, shiny.
Making available for you a glow badge for your very own, that's right, Captain, for your very own profile page.
Oh, we're all shiny here. So whether you wrote it, whether you read it, or whether you shined it up, we want to hear about it. Because great logs simply makes geocaching better. Send an email to feedback@cachingnw.com. You can call into 253-693-TFTC or use the voicemail tool right there on the website and show us how you glow. And tonight, it is an honor to have Wits End back reading our glows because, you know what? He does it better than we do.
Well, I don't know about that, but I try. I'm reading you this glow from the future because where I sit, well, it's already Friday. So if you had any doubt about whether tomorrow will happen, it's already tomorrow.
Oh, thank you.
How about that? Yeah.
I can sleep better tonight.
That's right. It's just another service I provide. So this this glow tonight reads, "Hey guys, love the podcast. This is Daryl of the Gladiators." Excuse me. "And I think I've got a glow-worthy log for your segment. This is a log that we, Mr. and Mrs. Gladiator, wrote for the Land of the Silver Birch series. GC5YBVF is the second one in the series. A set of six kayak caches on Slocan Lake in beautiful British Columbia. As this being our last geocamping trip before parking our camper, we wanted to make it memorable. So we chose to do these six kayak caches. It was just over 2.5 miles as the crow flies to the furthest cache from our starting point, but who caches as the crow flies? We had plenty of time to work on our log on the paddle back. Hope you guys enjoy it. It follows an old theme song. See if you figure it out. LOL, here's our log that we came up with. Just sit right back and enjoy a tale of the fateful trip. It started off in Silverton aboard their tiny ships. The mate was a mighty sailor woman, the captain brave and sure, as they set out that day for a three-hour paddle. Loaded up with their tools of the trade, Mr. G and his wife too, the GPS and the stamp. A travel bug, tweezers, and swag bag went off in search of the silver birch. It probably could have been done to music a whole lot better if somebody else had been doing it. You get what you get. At our first stop, number two, we see signs of a local camping spot that the natives use while out fishing. The find was easy here, and we loaded back up and continued down the lake. Our second stop was number four. No sign of inhabitants here, so a quick scramble up the bank and we had the cash in hand. We then bypassed number three to save for the return trip. Vanishing Creek was our next stop. Again, made a quick find and started to get back in the kayaks. Mrs. G was in hers and Mr. G was starting to get in his when Mrs. G pointed out that the two natives were there starting their pre-fertility dance. Startled by what Mr. G seen, he took a misstep and he and his kayak ended up flipping in the water. While dragging his kayak on shore, the natives noticed the commotion and their fertility dance was put on hold for the moment. After draining the water out of the kayak, we paddled on by and some awkward small talk was engaged with the natives. Number five was also left for the return trip. Finding a good place to beach our kayaks for number six was quite difficult as the water was low. We were able to pull our kayaks up on a rocky section about 100 feet from ground zero. This cache now has to be reached from above. Mr. G was about halfway to the cache when he could hear one of the kayaks sliding down the rocks. Mrs. G was nearby and was able to grab it. She pulled it back up and started to make her way towards me as I was searching for the geocache. As I found the cache and was draining the water out of the container again, I heard the kayak sliding down the rocks. This time, Mrs. G wasn't close enough to grab it, and I could see it floating in the water. Good thing we each have kayaks, as she was able to use mine and retrieve hers. Now for the return trip. Number five took a bit of searching, but the find was made. We only noticed one naked native on the first pass around Bannock Point, but now he was joined by his family. No communication was had with these natives. Further on down the lake shore, the first group of natives that were doing a pre-fertility dance, we are now full swing into it. Again, they were interrupted by our presence, which was a good thing as we heard a bunch of children coming out of the forest as we passed. With jello-like arms, we finally reached number three. A quick search and a power bar and we were off. We could now see the end. It was a beautiful, sunny, early fall day in the water. Thanks for all the great geocaches along the lake shore. We really enjoyed the day. Our paddling took us 3.5 hours to complete.
Wow.
Slightly more time than it took me to read that log.
That is quite the glow there. That is quite the geocache log.
On and on and on. That was a good one.
Makes you wonder what the natives were.
Probably grizzly bears, I'm thinking.
Not sure. But I'm sure we'll hear back from the Gladiators to clarify that at some point in time. But that was great. So thank you very much, Gladiators. Really appreciate your glow-worthy log, sharing that with us. Great laugh, really entertaining glow there. And you should have a shiny glow badge coming at you pretty soon.
You better believe it. I often send them out as soon as I get the email. We may not play the or read the glow for quite some time. You know, I like to save them for when I feel they're appropriate in the show. This was a kayak, so that's a T5 cache they went for.
There you go.
Apply it to a T5 caching show. So,
well done, sir. Well done.
Thank you. Thank you very much. That's the work I put into this show. I just want to let you know.
That's the extent of it?
Well, yeah.
I don't think so, but okay.
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 Oh, hey, you know, if there's a milestone cache you're celebrating, why not call it in to 253-693-TFTC and share it with the entire Northwest community? You never know, you may have some host of the podcast just over your shoulders. You call that in. It's happened before. Or you can use the voicemail tool on the website. And I've just heard that that voicemail tool will work now with iOS 11 natively in the web browser. You don't need to download an app.
Oh, so nice. It works with the natives in the Glow that we just read?
Yeah.
Excellent. Yeah.
It'll work both pre- and post-fertility dance with the natives.
I was thinking the pre-geocaching dance, but okay.
Okay. Wow. We have some feedback. Tonight it is, well, you know what? I'm not going to introduce it. I'm going to let our caller introduce themselves.
Good day, gentlemen. This is Limax. I am a bit behind in listening to podcasts, and I am just now listening to the one about Earth caches with the Land Monkey. And I am listening to him go on about caching by phone, and of course, those people who are lazy not submitting their answers by phone. Well, when I went out for Earth Cache Day, Earth Cache Weekend, I actually did cache by phone, and I used the Notes app, and after copying the questions out of the cache listing that I found in Cachely, I copied that into the Notes app, and then I had my questions right there and wrote my answers as I was making my observations. And then after I did that, I then copied the text out of the Notes app, used the official Geocachinger app to then send those answers off to the CO. And then what did I do after that? I got out of the Geocachinger app and logged it find into Cachely. Is that such a wrong thing to do? Bye.
Oh, Limax. You're a hoot.
You know what? I got it. So since that was in at least some part directed at me, I will respond by saying, way to go, Limax, for being a good example to other phone cachers of how to properly do an Earth cache by sending your answers first and then your log. So, well done.
Well done.
Now, I have to add, I believe you can click their name in Cachely and send them an email directly in the app. You know, We have a research department that can correct me if I'm wrong. Worst case scenarios, you can go into Cachely, open the web page, and send an email or message from there as well. So you don't have to use the app if you don't want to.
You realize the moment you say research department on any podcast, it starts a race in the chat?
Yes, I've heard this. That's research department is napping. What was the question? No, never mind.
Yeah, and the other research department participants, Team Finn, work on Android, they said in the chat, so they don't have Cachely.
Oh, interesting. Yes, I found out that the research department is just whoever can type the fastest.
That's right.
Pretty much.
Or, it looks like, you know, it might even be Wits End tonight.
Have the proper app. You never know.
There you go. All right. Hey, you know, Wits End, did you figure it out? You looked like you...
No, I was actually seeing if I could pull up the chat because I don't have my multiple windows available, so I can't quite pull it up here tonight. But I am going to take this opportunity to say, hey, it is tomorrow here, and I have an early call in the morning, and so I'm going to sign off. It was nice to chat with you briefly. Next week, all things go as planned, I should be back in the home studio and hang out for the whole time.
Well, awesome. Witsen, thank you so much for joining us. You know, the podcast isn't the same without you.
No, it's better.
We could have hundreds of people tweet at you and say, thank you, and we miss you.
You know what, everybody? Make sure you tweet safe travels to Wits End.
Yeah, it was very nice to see all the tweets last week. I was very touched, even though I thought maybe some of them might be coerced. But
No, they were all natural. Organic.
Shades of an archive party came to mind. But,
archive.
I just decided to just accept them and move on. Thank you.
All right. Safe travels, buddy.
Good night, everybody.
Good night. from the future. He's leaving us. Wait a minute. Does that mean tomorrow only happens shortly?
That's right. It ends in a couple hours, folks. So
it's all over.
Yeah, 4 hours left.
You know, sounds a little defeatist. It's like me geocaching.
Well, speaking of you geocaching, how about we talk a little bit about hashtag wish I was caching?
Hashtag.
We have a contest that is still going on for a few days. We've got till the 31st, isn't it?
Exactly. So there's still time to hashtag wish you were caching or wish I was caching. This has been really fun. I've really enjoyed the hashtag wish I was caching posts that people have been doing.
Absolutely. It's been great. Some of you guys are really out there having a lot of fun. Speaking of which, Tick Magnet, thank you so much. Posted one today, I think it was. Replaced another ammo can today. Happy hunting. Hashtag geocaching. Hashtag wish I was caching.
Exactly. So he was doing good cache owner maintenance rather than actually finding new geocaches. So good on you, Tick Magnet. Good on you. We have a tweet from Bryling. Looks like it's going to be a nice day outside. Wish I was caching. And tomorrow, wish I was caching. Oh, and the final one is from Dora Moore. On a day like today, you can't sit around saying hashtag wish I was caching. You just have to go out and make it happen. Cough or no cough.
There you go. Well, Dora Moore, we hope you're feeling better soon. And I just saw Bounce in the chat saying, where do I send the hashtag wish I was caching to? All you do is post it on Twitter or Facebook. Use that hashtag and just post anything you want. We love seeing pictures of what you're up to and use that hashtag wish I was caching. That gets you the entry into the contest.
That's just all it takes.
It's just that simple. All right.
And Limex says, although a voicemail works too, I've done that. Yes, he has.
He has. All right. What else we got going on? So that's a contest. Yeah. And the contest, the 31st will be the last day that we'll be collecting entries. So get your entries in on or before October 31st.
Which just happens to be a Tuesday this year.
Okay. Is that important or are you just sharing a fact?
Just sharing a fact.
Okay.
Just happens to be a Tuesday this year.
Okay. I didn't know if that was relevant somehow to the contest.
Oh, yeah. It's a Tuesday.
It's a Tuesday. Yeah. Okay.
Hashtag wish I was caching. It's there a Tuesday. Wish I was caching.
Nice. Nice. All right.
Well, here's the real question. Did anybody go out and actually go caching this weekend? Or this week, I mean? If we've got listeners in the chat, go ahead and use the hashtag FTAS. That's for the after show. FTAS. And tell us about your caching adventures. We'll talk about it a little more in
the after show.
There you go. Hey, I also want to remind those who are listening to this, not live, but listening to the recorded version, you've downloaded the podcast. Thank you very much. You're listening to it. Or maybe you're even watching it on YouTube after we've broadcast. You also can participate in for the after show. Post onto social media, particularly Twitter, hashtag FTAS, and we will find it and we will share your geocaching adventures and stories in an upcoming after show, or even your opinions on our, you know, things that we've talked about in previous podcasts. We'd love to hear from you. So remember, you don't have to be live to use hashtag FTAS. You can even do it anytime after the show has aired. And I just want to let you know, I have searched on Twitter for hashtag FTAS, and all I have found is things about free trade agreements. So that's really boring. I think we need to spice up that hashtag with some geocaching talk.
Exactly, because, yeah, I look at it and I see FTA, uppercase FTA, lowercase S, you know, FTAs. I'm like, no, it's FTAS. You're spelling it wrong.
These people just don't understand. All right. Well, you know what? We mentioned a question from Bounce earlier, and it sounds like we've got a little bit of news about Bounce as well. Bounce, who does seem to be a weekly topic on the podcast lately because of awesome geocaches placed, also placed a virtual cache. It was listed tonight. So folks, head over to the Pike Place Market and get a new virtual cache. I imagine the FTF's already gone on that.
You would think. It was just posted this evening. Wow. Before I did that other podcast that I do, Geo Gearheads, if you happen to be listening to that one. Anyway, yeah, I nearly bugged out on Geo Gearheads so I could try to go get the FTF, but I figured that probably wasn't an adult thing to do at the time.
Right on. Well, it looks like we've got a whole bunch of geocaching adventure-related hashtag FITAS in the chat. So awesome, guys. We'll pick those up when we get down into the after show.
Yeah, I was just working on it. So let me catch up to the show notes here.
All right. So in the meantime, this week we are talking about T5 geocaching in the Northwest. So just to be clear, what we're talking about is what to expect if you decide to tackle Terrain 5 geocaches while geocaching in the Great Northwest, whether you live here and you're thinking about going after some T5s, or maybe you're listening to this podcast and you're planning to visit the Northwest and you want to get a sense of, you know, what's up, what's unique about, or maybe not unique per se, but what do you need to know about T5 caching in the Northwest? We're going to tackle that tonight.
Definitely. Now, if you're coming to the Northwest, don't exclude T5 caches from your cache listing because they're very doable here.
Now, some of them. Yeah.
Exactly. Now, a T5 cache officially, according to geocaching.com, requires specialized equipment such as scuba gear, a boat, rock climbing gear, or anything of the like. And you know what? You can rent scuba gear. You know, it would really help if you're licensed or ordained or whatever they call it for scuba gear, certified.
I think the term is certified, yeah. Ordained is good, though. I like that.
Yeah.
I'm scuba ordained.
Renting a boat, really easy. Or kayaks, very easy to get here. So you could go out and get those.
Absolutely.
You know, climbing gear, you could stop by REI, get what you need, and head on out. So, you know, renting equipment if you're traveling, because, you know, who's going to take a kayak on a plane with them?
Well, if it's your own plane, maybe.
Yeah, okay. it's all very doable here in the Northwest.
Absolutely. Well, you know, to that end, just before the show, I did a quick search on geocaching.com, came up with 300 T5 caches within 100 kilometers of where I live here. And, you know, I live in a fairly suburban area, so that's not bad. So 100 kilometers from here in, you know, lower part of British Columbia, gets you 300 different T5s. Now, of those 300, 51 I've already found, but, you know, there's plenty more to find, approximately 249. So now...
Quick math.
Yeah, thank you. One thing I did notice when I did that search using the search tool on geocaching.com is that not all T5s are created equal, is what I realized when I did that search and I started going through the list quickly. So a key assumption you should make if you're considering going after those is why it's been rated a T5 by the CO.
And, you know, it's interesting because it depends on the CO and their experience with geocaching, if they rate it a Terrain 5 or not. You know, yes, you may require special gear. There is a search tool that on geocaching.com that can give you this list really easily, but it won't tell you why it's a T5 rating. You know, assuming the cache owner has listed the cache with all those useful and appropriate icons or attributes, you know, you can get pocket queries to get you that info as well. You can create a PQ and then go into the attributes and choose, you know, T5 such as boat or may require swimming or climbing gear, what have you.
Right. Great idea. So that is definitely a way to make sure that you get them. One thing that I would suggest if you're going to take that route, which is a very good route to take to, again, assuming and based on the fact that the CO is properly used the attributes in the cache. So there was always a risk that might not happen. But good thing to know is that you can't just choose all the T5 related attributes. So you can't just go in and say, okay, I'm going to make pocket query and I want anything that's a T5. So I'm going to click on needs boat. I'm going to click on may have to wade to cache. I'm going to click on, I'm trying to remember some of the other ones, may have to swim. There's a variety of different, now, of course, I'm focusing on water, but there is also, climbing gear required and these other T5 attributes that you can click. If you go and click all of them, you're probably going to get very, very few caches because the logic of how the attributes in the pocket queries works is, and channeling my inner programmer here, but it's and logic.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not or logic, it's and. So if you start doing that, it means that the geocache has to have all those attributes in order to show up in your pocket query. So you'll probably want to do multiple pocket queries, just selecting one or two of those icons so that you don't rule things out that you might want to try and find.
Really good ideas there, Land Monkey. So, So let's say I've done that and I've got a list of all the caches. I need a boat to go get. Now what? Am I just supposed to go build my own boat?
You'll need 40 cubits of gopher wood.
Okay.
Voop-a, nicely done.
Thank you.
So yeah, good point. So, obviously there's going to be a lot of planning that's going to need to be done. And as you mentioned before, one of the beauties of living up in the Northwest is it's really not that hard. So, let's talk boats for a little bit here. It's really not that hard to get access to a boat. Now, you may be really lucky and you've got a friend who has a power boat, but not all T5s are on a body of water where you can use a power boat. There are, now I can't speak to Washington State, but I can definitely speak to British Columbia. There are a number of smaller lakes where you're not allowed to use a power boat.
Right.
So you have to either use a small electric motor or paddle, ergo kayak, canoe, or rowboat, but.
Ergo?
Ergo.
Wow. This is a highbrow podcast when we use terms like ergo. So lots of different boats. Like I used to live on Steel Lake there in Federal Way. No power boats allowed. So for the longest time, the only cache I've ever put on my ignore list was the cache closest to home. It was a scuba cache. Guess what? I'm not ordained to go scuba diving.
You're not a minister in the Church of Scuba?
In the underwater church of caching, yes. So I put it on my ignore list because it bothered me. I can't get that one. It has since been archived. But, you could actually have a friend go get it, bring it up to you, sign it, and have them return it. That's legal.
Yeah, this sounds like there's a story behind that.
No. The funny thing, okay, I'm going off topic here. Well, not really, because it's a T5 cache.
I'll rein you in, don't worry.
In that area where that cache is, they often had scuba diver training. We used to walk the waterfront there, and there would be scuba divers. And I never got up the guts to say, hey, would you look down there to see if you can see an ammo can and bring that up to me?
Covered in barnacles.
Didn't do that. So we mentioned different kind of boats won't help with the scuba cache unless you sink the boat, then that's, don't expect to get your rental money back.
So your scuba caches are pretty unique. And actually, just before you keep going on that, Chris, I noted Chasing the Ironman, new to the chat. So thanks for watching tonight, Chasing the Ironman. Appreciate being on there. Said, brought up the topic of T5 liar caches. And talking about scuba caches, I know a lot of people have... Because the scuba attribute is used so rarely, a lot of people will use the scuba attribute to make their cache stand out, even if it isn't a scuba cache. But generally, you can tell when you look at where the cache actually is.
Yes, exactly. So are you saying they use an attribute improperly, and that's what you call a liar cache?
Well, no, two different things. I kind of went off his topic there, or his or her, sorry, I'm not sure. Gender there, but off Chasing the Ironman's topic and went on sort of my own that sometimes you can't always trust the attributes, which we alluded to earlier. But the other thing is there are things called liar's caches where they crank up the difficulty level and or the terrain level. And when you get to it, it's just, standard bison hanging in a tree or, Tupperware under a shrub or whatever it is. but they ask you to make up some sort of fantastical mm-hmm. story about it. It was a bit of a trend. It kind of seems to have died off now. Mm-hmm. There's a trend a few years ago anyways to put those out.
Yes, I found one like that. Okay, that's what I assumed a liar's cache was. However, there's terms that are thrown out there that, you know, even though I do a geocaching podcast every week, I'm not always up on the latest terms.
There you go.
You might be surprised what I don't know. Don't ask me what I don't know. Okay. Right.
We were talking about boats and kayaks and that, you know, it's easy to rent kayaks mm-hmm. up here. You have to Google kayak rental and whatever town or city is closest to where you're going caching. But you had something else you want to talk about there, Chris?
Well, climbing and climbing gear.
Ooh.
You know, I know you can get that at a local REI here in the Northwest.
Mountain Equipment Co-op or other stores up here.
Thank you. Houston. Exactly. And, you know, it's relatively easy to come by. Again, if you're an ordained mountain climber, that may not be the right term again. I just keep throwing that one out. Maybe you can use ladders to go find a tree cache because, you know, some of those tree climbing caches I've seen, you know, they're 40 feet up there. It's, yeah, I know I don't have a 40-foot ladder, but would it still be a T5 cache if you're using a ladder for it?
I think if you're using a ladder, if you have to use a ladder to get to a cache, like if it's up a tree and there's no lower branches and you have to use a ladder to get started or crampons or, you know, some sort of climbing gear, then I think that is truly a T5 because without special equipment, you could not get it. If it's up a tree and there's lower branches and you can mm-hmm. climb the tree without anything other than your, you know, your two hands and your sneakers, then I don't think it's technically a T5. That doesn't mean that the CO didn't call it a T5. If it's way up the tree, maybe, and they figure that the special equipment you need is bravery. but, or, you know, monkey-like reflexes. But yeah, I think tree climbers shouldn't be a T5 unless you actually need something to get up the tree besides just your own climbing ability.
Exactly. Chasing the Iron Man says ladders for trees. That's up in the air.
Oh,
oh boy.
Clever one over in the chat there. Funny. All right.
Okay. So Dormore kind of tossed out something that I was thinking about. What about gadget caches or other, you know, type of caches that require obscure tools of the trade, or even that a cache owner has provided that special tool, but you have to find the tool and then use the tool to retrieve the cache?
I think unless if you need the tool to get to the cache, because remember, it's special equipment, but it's in the terrain rating, not the difficulty rating. So mm-hmm. it is in the terrain rating where it says you need special equipment. So I think unless you need the special equipment to get to the cache, mm-hmm. it is not a T5. If you need special equipment to get into the cache, that's a whole nother conversation.
Okay. So there was a geocache near my parents, you know, many years ago before they moved. And it was an actual hard drive that the logbook was in, and you needed a special sized Torx driver to open up the screws to get to the cache, get to the logbook. T5 or D5?
Where was the cache?
In an industrial park. You know, it's okay. Like sitting under a brick.
No, sitting under a brick on the ground? No, not a T5.
But it requires special equipment.
Not to find the cache.
Okay.
Not to get to the cache's location. I think that's the point because it's the terrain rating where the T5 is. And I know this is something a lot of people argue and
exactly.
discuss, etc. But if you just think about it logically, it's the terrain rating. So that means where the cache is placed, where you have to get to and how you have to get to physically where the cache is, not how you access the log inside the cache. That's the difficulty rating.
There you go. And Start Cacher has found that cache, by the way. Thank you, Start Cacher. You make me feel better. Although, you know, I was traveling there. I never brought that special screwdriver. I have one at work, but, you know, anyway. So T5 caches. Okay, so getting to them is difficult. The terrain, the how you get there is difficult.
That's the point. Yeah. Do you want to run down a top five list of T5 caches in the Northwest?
So, top five, not in any specific order, but maybe they are, right? Maybe. We've got Above the Clouds. That's GC Bravo 6-7. It's a hike up Mount St. Helens to the rim. It has an altitude of 6,920 feet. Now, the hike up Mount St. Helens is, you know, consistent. Yes, it's, you know, it's a hike up and you're going up, but it's something I really wanted to do. My son wasn't up to it. He had more than the skill to do it. He just was like, no, I don't want to do that, Dad. Okay. Was on our father-son camping trip. And I was like, well, come on, let's go up to the top of Mount St. Helens. So
he turned it into a D5 on you.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Well, hey, number four on our list is a multi-cache called Pitch Black. It's up the Mountain Loop Highway. So that's in northwestern Washington there, if I'm not mistaken, or at least north central Washington. Mm-hmm. It is GC 27 Bravo 9 Delta. And as I said, yeah, it's a multi. If you look into that one, you'll find out pretty quickly that it looks like it's in a cave or abandoned mine shaft. So I love those kinds of caches.
Yeah, those are always a lot of fun. I personally like those. Now, if you have claustrophobia, that's going to be an incredibly difficult cache for you to find.
That's fair enough. Yep.
There was a series of caches here in the Tacoma area called the Fear This. And if you know, it would be rated as a T5 or D5. If you were claustrophobic, if you were afraid of ants, if you were, you know, otherwise you could just walk up and grab it if that fear didn't stop you. And I thought that was an excellent series.
There you go.
Next one is Shane's favorite place. That is GC 44 November Yankee Tango. And it's at Kama Beach State Park, and it's accessible by boat. So you're going to need a boat for
that. That's in Washington State, right? Kama Beach State?
Yes.
Well, obviously it's State Park, but.
State Park.
That's Washington, Kama Beach?
Yes, it is. I'm sorry, I had to confirm. I'm trying to think where it is.
It's your state, man. You should know it.
You would think. It's on Kameno Island.
Oh, okay. That's why it sounded familiar to me.
Yeah. So way up north above Everett and out on the point there.
Yeah. Nice area, Kameno Beach. Yeah.
So, you know, halfway between Everett and Mount Vernon, but a little more east.
West.
Exactly. That's what I said. That's what I thought in my head, and east came out of my mouth.
Backwards to it.
Yeah, if you drive in reverse, you won't put any miles in your car. Face your car east, put it in reverse, and it's better. Okay, sorry.
All right. What's number two on our list?
Number two is one of my favorite caches.
Do tell.
It is called Ring of Fire.
Bum, bum, bum.
I did this a couple of years ago. Wits End was with me and other people. There was a group that went out and did it. You know, this one doesn't require special equipment because the special equipment is already there. It is, in fact, Bounce had already brought it up in the chat. What about Ring of Fire? Yeah, Ring of Fire. That is GC Juliet Yankee Hotel Zulu. And it's an older cache, great location. I mean, nearly impossible location. It's part of a movie set, or not a movie set. It was used, well, I guess it kind of was, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
A movie filming location. You know, they drove a train off of a broken trestle and, you know, left it sitting in a, what would you call that? Not a crevasse, but...
Gully, deep gully.
Yeah, deep. down. There are ropes and fire hoses. Yes, fire hoses tied around trees and embedded into the ground to help you get a handhold as you go down and come back up. Very steep. You know, read the cache pages. I'm sure you can do it, but again, look at the cache page. Look at the pictures there. Fabulous location. Lots of fun. And a great cache. So, a chasm. There you go.
Ah, a chasm. Nice. All right. Well, this brings us to number one on Caching in the Northwest list of top T5 caches in the Northwest. And number one is one of our favorites of the hosts of this show, Keyshless Crossing 2. That is GC, Papa, Charlie, Bravo, Delta.
Look how good we're getting at this.
I know.
We've got a phonetic alphabet down. Okay, I've got a cheat sheet, but, you know, we're getting it.
We are. So, yeah, that is a fun cache. It has a metric buttload of favorite points because it is very close to where they hold the Ape Cache event every year. But it is a cool cache. It is a T5 that you can, at the right time of the year, walk to. Because it is in Lake Keyshless, which the lake in the late summer is partially drained because that lake serves as a reservoir for the Tacoma area.
Very good. Yes.
And over the summer, the lake tends to, you know, on the northeast end, is it?
Sure. It could be southwest because I get turned around.
Right. But it tends to drain down on that end. And you can almost walk, or you can sometimes, depending, walk right to the ground zero of the cache, whereas the rest of the year you have to paddle to it.
Yes, so. Exactly. So most people know that lake. Now, you may not know it by Keyshless, but it is
Ape Cache Lake. Huh? Ape Cache Lake.
Ape Cache or Stump Lake, as we always called it with my kids growing up. There driving on I-90, just, oh, it depends. Okay, let's say you're driving east, and I really do mean east, over the pass of I-90. As soon as you go over the pass, you start coming down just slightly, and there's a lake there off to your right-hand side. And, you know, depending on the time of year, you're going to see all the stumps in the lake. Sometimes it's full. Other times it's nearly empty. If you go towards the end of summer, August, September, you can walk right out to the island that's there, grab that cache, sign it, and walk back. Any other time of year, you're going to need some sort of conveyance, be that boat. You could swim. You could inner tube out there and to get to the island.
I would just say that when it's not summer, it's probably a little chilly on that lake because you're up in a little bit of altitude there and mountain conditions, probably a little chilly to swim to that one.
Now, Breiling says, I bet you can snowshoe or cross-country ski to it in winter.
Maybe.
I don't know. Which Broncos Fan for Life says, in winter, it's full of water again.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, that you'd have to have a really cold spell for quite a while for that one to freeze over. It sounds like fun.
It is a fun cache. And it's one of those that, you know, when you realize you can walk to a T5 cache, well, it's one of those T5 caches. You know, we were just talking about this on GeoGearheads. In the Detroit area, Daryl says, some cache owners will change their terrain rating based on the weather.
Interesting. Okay,
because, you know, in the winter, it's harder to get to than it is in the summer.
Yeah, well, okay. But
that's frowned upon.
Right, because if you change the terrain rating, it changes it globally for everyone who's found it. So it doesn't matter if you change the terrain rating.
That's like true.
If you find a cache, so let's say you find Keyshless Crossing 2. And you find it in the summer when technically it's not a terrain 5 because you can walk to it. So
that would be a 1.5. It's really not difficult.
It's not a difficult walk. But if the cache owner changed the terrain rating to, let's say, to change it to a 2, mm-hmm. and you found it, and you found it as a two, and you went home, and winter rolls around, and the lake's filled up with water again, and they go, oh, well, it's full of water. I changed it to a five. On your found caches, it now changes to a five. So in your 81 square grid, your DT grid, it's going to bounce back and forth between where it sits in the grid. So it's actually kind of a dumb idea. So cache owners, don't go changing the terrain rating of your caches back and forth depending on the time of year.
You should write a song.
It's not going to achieve anything.
You know,
I guess
that's exactly right. I hadn't considered that, but yeah, you go say, hey, look, I got my grid completed. Oh, wait, no, I don't.
Yeah, it's going to be super annoying to the cache or the cachers who found it. I suppose it would achieve something in the sense of, and I haven't been watching the chat, so maybe people are
Bounce had a great comment.
But I suppose what it would achieve is it would be fair notice for the cacher is going to find it at that point in time as to what to expect from the terrain. But it's going to mess with people's stats. So I think you'll just annoy more people than you'll help.
And yeah, messing with people's stats is not a thing you want to get involved in.
No.
People get a little...
It never ends well.
Yeah, they get a little sensitive when it comes to their stats. So Bounce said, you can take a snowmobile to it, just don't let off the throttle. And that works in either season.
I love it. That's a great answer. All right.
I love it.
All right. Well, we got all kinds of great activity going on in the chat. I think we'll tackle most of that in the after show because I think we're just about wrapped up now that we've given our top five list and covered off some of the tips and tricks of finding T5 caches in the Northwest.
So come out to the Northwest. If you're here in the Northwest, you know, perhaps you're coming down from Canada or going up, you know, crossing the border, taking a kayak's not convenient. Rent one when you get there. You know, you can travel anywhere in the country. If there's a body of water, you can rent a boat of some sort.
Pretty much. But if you do have your own kayak, no reason that you shouldn't take it with you.
That's true. And Bounce is considering if he's going to start a kayak rental business.
There you go.
Limax says, oh, top five for T5. I see what you did there.
Yeah, we're pretty clever on this show.
Yeah, if it comes to alliteration, we're pretty good.
Yeah, other than that, not really too smart.
No.
But we're good at alliteration.
Yeah. And, you know, I can match up glows to...
to the show theme.
Glows to shows.
Show glows.
There you go.
Let's see how the show glows.
Hey, until next week.
Yes.
Because you've already said we're done with the show.
Where
can our listeners find you, Land Monkey, out there on the interwebs?
You know, the best place to find the Land Monkey is at Land Monkey GC, and that's on Twitter, Instagram, and Periscope. We are still using Periscope, putting videos out there every once in a while. So that is at Land Monkey GC. You can follow us on Facebook. We're Team Land Monkey. And of course, on YouTube. And a new video came out recently and more are coming now that I've fixed my technical difficulties in the studio. On YouTube, just search Land Monkey and we've got well over 100 different adventures we've gone out on and would love to share with you. So check us out. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Periscope. There'll be links to everything else.
All those places.
All the things. All the things. All right. Chris of the Northwest, how do people find Chris of the Northwest?
Well, before we get to me, you know, Wits End was on the show.
Oh, he was.
He was. And, you know, just to mess with him, go ahead and go and tweet him on the tweeters. You can find him at Wits End, WITZEND.
Or Zed if you're in Canada.
Or Zed, thank you. And you can find him on Facebook, geocaching.com, Google+ is witsend.us. Now, if you're looking for me, just go look for Caching in W. That could be on Twitter, Facebook, Google+, geocaching.com. No, it actually doesn't work there. I'm Chris of the Northwest there. Oops. See? Doesn't work everywhere. Or head on over to cachingnw.com/hosts and read those bios and find all those links that we just mentioned and maybe some more.
There you go, folks.
So, as always, we want to thank you for taking the time to listen to this here episode of Caching in the Northwest. And don't forget that you can be part of the show. Call 253-693-TFTC and leave us a comment, question, or send us pictures of cheese curls in the shape of the American presidents any time of the day or night. Of course, you can email us at feedback@cachingnw.com. Please don't forget that your support helps keep quality shows coming. So if you like this show, please click the Patreon link on the cachingnw.com website. This show's licensed under a Creative Commons Attributions 3.0 license, copyright 2017 by Chris Umfenauer. And folks, we would like to have you stay tuned for
the after show.
The after show. Maybe you didn't catch that. It's the after show. Now, I know we have a new person with us tonight, and you know, there's some things that we forget to mention because we get our good friends with us each and every week, and we forget to mention things like exactly what is
the after show.
What is the after show, Chris of the Northwest?
Huh. The after show, or as Wits End likes to say,
the after show.
Always with us.
Yes. It's just a time that we have to chat with our live listeners. And
that's you guys.
That's you guys, yeah. Or maybe those who are listening to us later and are using the hashtag FTAS. That's For the after show. FTAS. Yeah, I started off too difficult. I realized it was a D5 acronym there if I started doing each word at a time. Can you do a D5 acronym?
No, apparently you can't.
Okay, I can't.
But yes, hashtag FTAS is what we ask you to do if you want to have comments. And, you know, the after show, we'll talk about almost anything that won't change our sensor rating on our podcast.
That's right. Yeah, it's an open time. We just chat. If you have to leave, we completely understand.
Yeah.
If you're in your car, really don't walk out right now. That's awkward, especially on the freeway.
And dangerous. That would be a T5 maneuver.
Yeah, exactly. Limax says, we took their joke. I took their joke.
Which joke?
And Limax says, I thought you were talking about cheese girls. My eyebrows raised. No, cheese curls. You know, you get cheese curls that look like, I don't know, famous people, and they sell for thousands of dollars on eBay. And my question is, why?
Why?
Let's see. Limax says, FTAS, no caching again this week. I'm still trying to figure out my new daily routine. Mm.
Well, we hope you get it sorted out soon, Limax.
Yeah. Team Finn says, FTAS every day. Thanks, Daily Streak. Found a flooded road on our Nightmare in Preston adventure, too.
Wow. So I guess that makes it a T5?
I would assume so. Did the cache owner update the cache to a T5 for you? Bounce found the Nightmare in Preston series with Team Finn.
Ah. Very cool. Very cool. I'm not familiar with those caches, but I'll
There is a Nightmare in Preston event this Saturday. I want to say it starts at like 4:30. Kind of Halloween themed, but there's a series of caches.
Where's Preston?
Washington State.
Approximately where in Washington State? It's a big state. Close to what major metropolitan center?
Yeah.
Isn't a major. Yakima? Is that where you're going?
It's on Highway 90. Oh, no, it's just east of our favorite city on Highway 90.
Auburn?
No.
Oh, it's like
Issaquah. Yes.
Okay.
It's between Issaquah and North Bend.
Okay, there you go. Very helpful. Thank you.
Does that help?
It does.
I knew it was out there. I didn't know exactly where it was. But we have people in the chat who are saying exactly the same thing. Head to the Ape Cache. You can't miss it.
There you go. Yeah, awesome. Thanks, guys.
You might be able to, actually, if you head to the Ape Cache. So, yeah, there's an event there this weekend.
How are the highways up there?
Should be fine.
Snowed yet?
I used to drive I-90s pass on a regular basis throughout the year when I was working over in the Tri-Cities. And, you know, there are a couple of times, so yeah, you slow down, you take it easy, but the pass is almost always open.
Okay. So it's not like, what is it, the one up north in the Cascades? 2?
20.
They close?
Highway
20.
Highway 20.
That's when they close every year.
Yeah. And that may already be closed.
I wouldn't be surprised. The Coquihalla Summit here has been getting snow already. So
yeah. So, but you know, again, I always say Highway 20 is beautiful drive. You know, maybe not when it's closed. There won't be many people there.
Yeah, the whole highway to yourself.
Yeah, but when it's open, you know, take the time and drive it. It's just beautiful. And by the way, there are some geocaches along the highway. I know, shocking.
All right. Well, hey, Dora Moore had a fatass earlier. Mm-hmm. She said, I got out a bit with Marty the Caveman. I'm working toward a very special milestone. So have to be careful of the numbers. Well, we really hope you're going to record some audio at that milestone.
You've got to call in to 253-693-TFTC with your milestones.
That's right. Absolutely.
Our new listener, Chasing the Iron Man, says, Fatas, taking Friday off work. I have a few caches to maintain. Sadly, no other caching this week.
Oh.
But thank you for being
for going out doing cache maintenance.
There you go. Thank you for being a good cache owner. We appreciate that. Sure, yes. Nice to find a well-maintained cache with a dry log and maybe even some swag. I don't really care about swag anymore.
I don't really care about the swag, but I really care about a clean, dry log.
Mm-hmm.
Not even clean in the sense of like I'm the first name on FTF. FTFs are great, but I just don't want to have to, you know, scrape mold off the log in order to put Land Monkey on there. Mm-hmm. Kind of thing. So thank you, Chasing the Iron Man, for doing cache maintenance.
He says, by the way, he's the Bruce Zero on geocaching.com.
Ah, okay. There you go. We'll try and remember that because that's easier than saying Chasing the Iron Man.
The Bruce Zero. FTFs are life, says Team Finn.
Yeah, well, I suppose Team Finn does feel that way.
Let's see. Team Finn says, went after the Nightmare in Preston series and the Floods won. Got all but 2 of the 13 with Bounce Bounce. Wish we had his kayaks.
All right. Limax shared the last time he went caching was when his daughter was in town. So Limax, we hope you're able to get out soon and get some more caching done and cache safely and often and, you know, pick up some caching buddies and get out there and enjoy yourself.
That's right. IHAM reminds us of a breakfast event in Tacoma Saturday. That's coming up very quickly to help Team Noltex figure out where to put their new virtual. And I can tell you one place you can't put it now. Pike's Place Market. But go out there and find a virtual. I'm excited. I have a come on, help me. A notification set up through geocaching.com of new virtuals.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Within a, you know, huge, some astronomical range, right?
Very clever.
So yeah, that way you can find out when these new virtuals are going up because it's just exciting. I mean, you know, they're new. And they're virtual.
There you go. What else did we have? I was going to say Brian Lang, who I think also has to put a virtual out. So there's a theme with the listeners of our show. So, you know, I'm pretty impressed. There's a lot of listeners of our show
mm-hmm.
who are putting out these 4,000 virtuals. So nice job, you guys. But Brian Lang, there's an idea. Maybe hold an event to solicit ideas for where to place your virtual and see if you can crowdsource it.
There you go.
Like Team Noltex is doing. That's
I think clever. It's a great idea because, you know, you've got it. Where are you going to put it that makes a lot of sense? And I mean, there are some areas of Pike's Place Market is genius. People are going to go there anyway when they come to Seattle. So you may as well put a virtual there and make it worthwhile for their, you know, $18 parking or whatever they have to pay. Okay, maybe that's not it. Maybe that was a little extreme.
Slight hyperbole.
Yeah. It's only $16 parking.
Well, speaking of Breilang, he did say, talking about boats, we were talking about taking boats back and forth across the border, and I was referring to maybe like a kayak that you put on the top of your vehicle or whatever, but he did say, a very good point, there are cross-border issues with boats. You do need to make sure that they're clean, dry, and that you remove all weeds, and that applies to borders between provinces in Canada as well. And in fact, there's a lot of areas, at least I know in our part of British Columbia, where there's signage up that says the moment you get your boat out of this lake, you make sure that it's cleaned, because there's probably some sort of weed or snail or something that they're trying to keep it from spreading into other lakes.
Okay.
Species.
I've been corrected.
Oh,
there is again. No S in Pike Place Market. I'm trying to give Pike the ownership of that. And there is no ownership. It's Pike Place Market. Thanks, IHAM. And I think somebody else as well.
There you go.
So, yes, Breilang, I stand corrected. Yes. In fact, I'm sitted corrected and probably not wearing pants.
Well, you are a podcaster. Breilang did mention that he has been crowdsourcing and his crowd hasn't been very helpful. And I resemble that remark. All right. What else do we have? Hashtag Fatas.
Bounce Bounce said, I was sitting in traffic on the viaduct and saw the market and thought it would be a good place to put a virtual.
There you go.
You could also put one, say, at one of our major sports stadiums. You know, put it right in the middle of the field where it's difficult to get to because you can't quite get close enough to it.
The virtual logging qualifications are you need to have a photo of you streaking across the field during a game.
I love it. Yes, that's exactly it.
Ah, okay. So not a lot of fines on this particular one.
No. But a lot of stories for those who do find it. Let me tell you about my night in prison.
Oh, dear.
Back in the day, I put a virtual Munzee on the Washington State Fair. Right at the big tower that shoots you up there. So that would be a good spot for a geocaching virtual. You're going to go to the fair anyway, right?
Well, I suppose, but you know what? We should do a different show and talk about ideas for virtuals.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think we could go on for a while about this.
If you have an idea for a virtual, why don't you email feedback@cachingnw.com. Could be three or four N's there. I don't know. Or call into 253-693-TFTC. Tell us where you would put a virtual in Washington State, in BC, in Idaho, or Oregon.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm chuckling because in the chat, IHAM says, and this is why Dear Geocache Guy didn't get a virtual cache invitation. I think amongst the many reasons.
No, Dear this Geocache is the only Guy, reason.
Dear Geocache Guy not only did not get a virtual invitation, but did not get into the GIF and did not get this. He's not the most popular guy at HQ, I think.
Not at HQ, but on the internets.
There you go.
Yes. Well, I'm looking. Okay, so Team Finn says National Sandwich Day is next Saturday. There's an event there. Here's an event for National Sandwich Day. Join us at GC7 Delta Papa Romeo Zero with some special guests. And then gives another GC code. That's at CameronCord.info. That's GC79 Juliet Delta Mike. And I think we're talking multiple.
Something different there.
Yeah, multiple events there. They hold one every month, so.
Is that maybe the virtual cache? The Julia Delta Mike? You're going to check.
Yep.
Right. Well, while you do that, National Sandwich Day next Saturday. Where is that event? And who are the special guests? I want to know.
Let's see. So GC79 Juliet Delta Mike is a Nightmare in Preston event.
Okay. So that's that event. All right. Fair enough.
And thank you, Team Finn. It's at Ma Boulangerie in Federal Way.
Oh, very fancy.
Yes, very French. Ma Boulangerie. I have been to many boulangeries.
We just don't want to see your boulangerie.
Yes. Boulangerie is a different thing than boulangerie. oui, oui.
I see. They might close the event, or might close the restaurant for our event.
Hmm. Secret special guests. Is that like a secret sauce?
I hope. No, that's like soy and green.
Oh, okay. It is people, and pumpkin spice is people, just like Soylent Green.
There you go. All right. Well, I think we've, on that note.
You don't believe me, do you?
We've probably exhausted the topics for hashtag Potass for tonight.
Did you know they made an entire pie out of the pumpkin spice flavor? I just found this out.
Yeah, it's called a pumpkin pie.
Oh. Oh, so you know. Okay.
Yes.
It's well, new.
Yes. All right. Anyways. It's been fun talking to you, buddy.
Yeah, it's always good to talk to you.
And you know what? I want to remind anybody who's still, if you've actually hung in there and you're still listening to this podcast at this point in time, first of all, kudos to you.
And we apologize.
We apologize. But don't forget to send a tweet to Witzend. That's at WITZEND, and wish him a safe journey home.
Definitely do. And folks, until next week, get out and get caching in the Northwest.